My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Why is it that when we really want to stay awake, we fall asleep? When we really want to fall asleep, we stay awake, right? Last week, I took my grandson to the movies, and I thought this would be a great treat. And I kept falling asleep. I guess I'm really getting to be a grandma, I don't know. And then there's those times when you really need some rest, but you lay in bed and your mind can't stop. It keeps tossing and turning along with your body. Spiritual writer Anthony DeMello tells this story about this gentleman who knocks on his son's door. "Jamie," he says, "wake up." And Jamie answers, "I don't want to wake up, Papa." The father shouts, "Get up. You have to go to school." Jamie answers, "I don't want to get up, Papa." "Why not?" "Well, for three reasons. First of all, it's dull. Second, the kids tease me. Third, I hate school." And the father says, "Well, I will give you three reasons to come to school. One, it's your duty. Two, you're 35 years old. Three, you're the principal. Wake up." Now, DeMello talks about being spiritually asleep. Waking up is unpleasant. You might have to look in the mirror in the morning. See yourself, see something maybe you don't want to see. You're nice and warm and comfortable in your bed. It's irritating to be woken up. He says the first step to spiritual awakening is to admit that you really don't want to wake up. It's too much work to open up to the truth, no matter what the consequences, no matter where it leads you, and you don't know where it's going to lead you. Being awake means being ready to follow, being open, ready to listen. And you have to be ready to challenge all the beliefs that you ever had in order to finally wake up. Our gospel reading from Mark 13 this morning is often referred to as the little apocalypse. And we think of apocalypse as being about the end times. We think of Revelation, because the word apocalypse actually means to lift a veil and to reveal something. But if you look closely, nothing is really said about the end of time in our passage. It simply says the Son of Man is near. Dr. David Lowe suggests that the key signs in this passage about evening and midnight and cockcrow and dawn are the same identical markers that we hear in the passion story of Jesus that is just about to commence. The darkening of the sun, powers being shaken, and so on correspond with the key elements in Mark's passion story. So maybe he's not so much pointing to a future apocalypse down the road, but one that is coming very soon. Once Jesus suffers and dies and is raised again, nothing will ever be the same again, including our present lives and situations. Perhaps instead of being about an ending, this passage is more about a new birth, a beginning in Christ's death and resurrection. Well, I certainly experienced that yesterday. I was invited to preach at a funeral for a member at my former congregation who was the president of the congregation. She was just 2 years older than me, and she was a visionary. She had lots of ideas and possibilities for the congregation. But shortly after I came here to St. Luke's, she was diagnosed with cancer. She went through almost a year of chemotherapy, then surgery. She was rehabbing very well at St. Mary's in Grand Rapids. But then last week, her liver failed suddenly. And it was devastating to all of us who knew her. And yet, as each one of us had our turn to speak, we spoke of our common hope in the resurrection and our certainty that Penny is now in a new beginning with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the end of the service, we were able to sing joyful songs like This Little Light of Mine, which was her favorite, and Soon and Very Soon. Some people say nothing brings people together like a good funeral, but I would say nothing brings people together like faith in the resurrection. So while the Advent season is usually thought of as a time for waiting, perhaps a better practice this year might be to waking up and seeing Jesus in the now, in the very present moment, seeing Jesus all around you. I remember when I was having a difficult time at one of my congregations, and people were always just worried about money, and I decided I was going to start coming to church every Sunday and looking for Jesus. And it was amazing how Jesus showed himself to me each week. I would just kind of, you know, be on watch, be more aware. And sometimes it was, you know, an inactive member showing up, which always just makes me delighted. Or, somebody'd say a kind word, or, you know, something unexpected would happen that showed me that Jesus was present. You know, Jesus isn't flashy. He comes in usually small and quiet ways. New birth is a messy process, and our world is a pretty messy place right now. We have a constant flow of people hurtling insults back and forth on the television. We have various conflicts at work and disagreements. Each family has their own particular troubles at home. But maybe these are exactly the places where we need to be awake and to look for Jesus working, perhaps in small or quiet ways. Yes, we need to be alert, because otherwise we might miss him. Some people might call this kind of a mindfulness training. That's a buzzword these days, to be mindful, to live in the present and to be aware of what is around us in the present. It means not worrying too much about the future or the past, focusing on the present. It makes me think of that phrase, today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Have you heard that before? Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. God comes to us as we are and accepts us for who we are right now in the present. We may not have all the Christmas shopping done. We may miss an Advent service. We may forget to do our devotions. We may not find the perfect card or gift. And yet, Christ still comes in unexpected ways and loves us now, even before things are ready, before we are ready. Jesus loves us for who we are right now. Jesus tells a little parable in this gospel lesson about a man who goes away on a trip and leaves his servants in charge. And he trusts them to be about their duties. They don't know when he's going to return. As we are waiting for Christ to return, we have jobs too, same jobs the disciples had. Cast out demons, feed the hungry, heal the sick, speak out against injustice, and be alert to how Jesus appears in your life. It makes the waiting so much easier. A few years ago, an elderly woman started attending the church where I was a pastor. She felt more comfortable at our small church than going to the large Lutheran church down the road. And not too long after she started attending the service, her only son died of cancer. Several of the members came to the service for him because they felt someone should represent the congregation. They didn't really know her very well, but they thought it was important. In the moment when her world ended, these people became the face of Jesus, reminding her that both she and her son were about to have new beginnings. Could your face be the face of Jesus this Advent? We see Jesus in the acts of love, of family, friends, and even strangers. Jesus can look just like you. I always like Martin Luther's saying about we are to be little Christs to one another. Keep awake for opportunities. May we be found this Advent not just waiting, but watching and even being Jesus for others right now. Amen.